ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
He was always referred to as Cranky Sam Pooh.
Cranky meant a little bit mentally unstable.
Hi, welcome to Rewind and the story of Sam Pooh. I'm Dr. Meg Foster. I'm an historian and a specialist in Australian bushranging. The word bushranger usually conjures images of colonial robbers on horseback, Ned Kelly's iconic armour, and spectacular gun battles between bandits and police. But today, we're looking at a bushranging story with a twist.
There's been a lot of police killed over the years in Australia, but there's only been one Chinese bushranger.
We're in central west New South Wales, and the year is 1865.
Sydney Morning Herald. Senior Constable John Ward's dying declaration.
I, John Ward, do hereby solemnly declare that on the third day of February 1865, I met two men who told me that a Chinaman was about sticking up people. I sighted a Chinaman.
And then John Ward just happened to come across a Chinese man with a rifle, and the rest is now history.
I got off my horse and took out my revolver. He followed me around the horse, fired at and wounded me.
It was an exchange of shots, and John missed, but the Chinese bushranger didn't.
The fatally wounded policeman, John Ward, was taken to a nearby homestead where he recounted his story.
He ran away into the bush, loading his gun. To the best of my belief, the Chinaman was a short, little, cranky old man.
2 weeks later, a well-built, 35-year-old Chinese man named Sam Pooh was arrested. By the end of that year, Sam Pooh was found guilty of the murder of Senior Constable John Ward.
Sam Pooh was the only documented Chinese bushranger in Australian history, so Chinese Ned Kelly.
This neat story just doesn't sit right with me. I've been researching Pooh for almost a decade now. I first came across him when I was looking into atypical bushrangers, essentially the ones who weren't white guys. Sam Pooh's story instantly grabbed me. The common story of Sam Pooh paints him as a loner who swapped gold mining for bushranging and fought back when John Ward tried to stop his crime spree. But court records, newspaper articles and depositions from the time just don't match up with this story. Rereading the historic evidence, I'm actually unconvinced that Sam Pooh was Ward's killer. But what do locals think? How does this colonial story live on in their communities? I'm heading to where it all happened in central west New South Wales to see how this story, born on the frontier, lingers in the present day.
Okay, I'm at the intersection of the Castlereagh Highway and Barney's Reef Road, and I found the spot where all of this really started. I'm standing in front of a very large sign. It's brown with white lettering, and it says, Senior Constable John Ward of the Coonabarabran Police was fatally wounded in this area by the Chinese bushranger Sam Pooh on 3rd February 1865. This sign not only pinpoints Sam Pooh as the culprit, but also labels him a Chinese bushranger.
A 5.5-hour drive from Sydney, I arrive in Coonabarabran and make my first visit to retired police officer Mal Unicum. Mal's been pivotal in commemorating the death of Senior Constable John Ward and petitioned to have that sign on the highway put up. I'm keen to hear what sparked his interest.
How it first started was in about 1986... There was a letter received at the Coonabarabran Police Station, and it was from a relative of John Ward's, and it was asking about John Ward and what we knew about John Ward. I was embarrassed because I'd never heard of John Ward. And so I started to go through state archives. They couldn't tell me a lot. The police department couldn't tell me a lot apart from just his service history. So over a period of time, I started to dig around and ring a few locals that I thought might be able to sort of fill me in on.
Mal eventually located Ward's grave, out the back of Birrawa Homestead, buried under decades of dirt and debris.
The graves didn't just jump out at you, so it was a lot of detective work and digging around. The grave was quite large with a sandstone slab with a cross on it. Eventually did literally dug a grave out, and that gravestone matched what people said 50 years ago had said that there was this grave, and it had an inscription on it with John Ward's name on it. When I eventually dug it out, there was no inscription left, but it matched perfectly the description of the grave that had been given to me.
Mal was hooked. But what made him so passionate about commemorating Ward?
John was a family man, trying to do the right thing to bring this villain, you know, to justice. And it doesn't matter whether it's 150 years ago or 5 days ago, whatever. It's the same thing. That police officer gave their life serving his and protecting his community. There was nothing locally that celebrated John's sacrifice to his community. And that struck a chord with me.
What's unusual to me is that unlike other bushranging stories, this one never casts the bushranger as a hero. John Ward, the policeman, is always the hero, and Sam Poo, the alleged bushranger, has always been seen as the villain. Take this article from February 1865.
The murder of Senior Constable John Ward. Maitland Mercury, 18th of February, 1865. It is usual in cases of bushranging to accuse the sympathy of settlers, but in this instance, all these points are reversed. The residents assist the police energetically. The troopers engaged are instantly on the alert, in disguise and well-mounted, and the bushranger himself is a snivelling Chinaman afoot. Ward was a gentleman by birth and education, and now, poor fellow, he is dead. He died while unflinchingly performing his duty. Could the greatest hero that ever breathed do more?
Mal Unicombe had spent over 40 years researching John Ward. What did he find out about Sam Poo?
There was nothing apart from the fact that, his name was mentioned in the court records, and that was about as much as I knew of Sam Poo. Sam Poo was just came on the scene when he decided to murder John Ward, and that was about it for me.
110 k's down the road from Coonabarabran, in the town of Dunedoo, locals couldn't tell me much about Sam Poo either. Melissa Farrow and Sharon Knott are volunteers at the Dunedoo Historical Society.
Well, it's hard because Sam Poo's really unknown.
I mean, probably no one did any research on Sam Poo, but only with Trove coming out that you can do a little bit of research, and it's only what people have written in the paper. It's only white people writing it. So history's always by normally the victor.
Sam Poo didn't tell his side of the story. He didn't speak after his arrest. The court ruled that he was deliberately holding his tongue. But his silence was very likely the result of his violent capture, which took place 2 weeks after Ward's death. Sam Poo resisted arrest, and so Constable Miles Burns smashed him with his rifle so hard that its butt shattered to pieces.
And I think he says it rendered the prisoner insensless. I mean, boy, oh boy, today that'd go down like a bag of cement, that would. Yeah, probably under the circumstances. There's no OC spray, there's no taser. So you use whatever you've got it, you know, on hand, and that just happened to be the butt of a rifle.
Details like this make me question whether it was Sam Poo who killed John Ward. But not everyone agrees with me. John Horn is president of the Dunedoo Historical Society and a fervent believer that Sam Poo murdered Senior Constable John Ward.
Are you happy to be recorded, John?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so what do you know about Sam Poo? Did you hear about him when you were growing up in the district, and what have you discovered in your travels?
Well, the main thing that interests me is your view that he didn't kill Ward.
Okay, but that's a recent intervention. I only wrote that in 2022. So before then, did you think he killed Ward?
I still think he killed Ward.
Okay.
What's your reason for believing he didn't? Just circumstantial evidence?
Well, there's only circumstantial evidence that he did it. Yes. And Ward's dying declaration, he's described the person who shot him as a short, little, cranky old man, and the person who was executed was muscular, 35. One newspaper thought he looked 24. He also didn't speak after he was arrested because he was smashed in the head with the butt of a rifle so hard the butt shattered to pieces. Mm. We know there were other Chinese people in the area too. The only thing that can really be proven was that he was resisting arrest. Yes. And the only evidence we have of the murder is Ward's dying declaration, and that doesn't stack up with the person who was arrested.
When he was arrested, he tried to kill two people, which is a black mark against him. Somebody who's a law-abiding citizen shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, I try to look at the context, though. So it's like Chinese people were very often assaulted by criminals, by bushrangers, sometimes by the police. And when you think about Ward has been shot 2 weeks beforehand, there are roving parties of police and volunteers looking for a Chinese suspect. To me, it's plausible that he may have had a reason to actually resist arrest. We don't know the circumstances around that apart from the view of the police. We don't actually have his perspective there. So for me, it's reasonable doubt. But for you, it sounds like you still very much believe that the right person was arrested.
Yes.
Is it the fact that Sam Poo was resisting arrest that makes you convinced he's the person who did it?
It helps, yes. No, I've just gone with the general view.
So you think in the local area people believe Sam Poo did it?
Yes. Yes, I would think 100% believe that Sam Poo shot Ward.
When I put it to Mal Unicum that Sam Poo might not have killed John Ward, he was similarly unswayed.
Look, I look at it from the point of view that when they came across Poo, he fired upon them. And to have two Chinese people in the same spot who are shooting at people, from my point of view, it's a pretty long bow to try and draw, you know, that it wasn't Sam Poo.
My father used to reckon that the police were no better than the bushrangers.
My next stop is the regional hub of Mudgee, where I find a new perspective. Local artist Michael Burke puts Sam Poo front and centre of the story.
I'm a bit more interested in the myth, but also in the character of Sam Poo than I am in John Ward. God bless his soul. Yeah. Nothing against John Ward. What I like to do with the art is play around with the idea of truth and the idea of what really happened and what we think might have happened. It was very hard to track anything down, and everything I've found about him seemed to be of dubious validity and suggested another question, really.
Michael's bold paintings give Sam Poo a Ned Kelly makeover. Like Kelly, Poo wears a helmet, but a triangular one, modelled on the conical Chinese hat. The Poo of Michael's imagining finds himself in strange scenarios, like disguising himself in butterflies to rob a bank and being thrown out of a bushranging conference with Ned Kelly.
Well, sometimes I think when you don't actually know what happened, it's valid to just throw a question mark over everything. Yeah, to make people scratch their heads, I suppose. But most people, when they see the pictures, have been surprised that there's any truth at all. They've said, oh, they didn't know that Sam Poo was a real person.
But we do have some clues about the real Sam Poo. After trawling through the archives, I found Poo's prison register. It stated that he was from Amoy in China. This one small detail makes a huge difference in understanding this story. When Poo's origins are discussed, it's assumed he was a gold rush migrant.
But Chinese gold miners migrated years after most Amoy men like Pu and largely came from the Pearl River Delta area. The two groups even spoke different languages. My final destination and the final resting place of Sam Pu is Bathurst. I'm here meeting Dr. Juanita Kwok, an expert in Chinese-Australian history, who explains why Amoy men like Pu came to New South Wales in the first place.
You know, there's a labour problem.
Right, so they don't want convicts to come back.
They don't want convicts back.
Yeah.
But they need labour, and the labourers that they do bring out from Britain don't want to go to the places where they're needed because they're on the frontiers. They might get attacked by Aboriginals who are defending their land. It's dangerous and lonely as well.
New South Wales pastoralists needed labour, and Amoy men came to the colony to seek opportunity, as well as flee crime, unrest and famine back home. Demand for indentured labourers quickly outstripped supply, and so underhand recruitment tactics were soon used. Chinese men were increasingly conned or kidnapped into bondage.
At least 3,000 Chinese indentured labourers came out. They made up between about a third to a half of all of the shepherds. They're going to those dangerous districts where nobody else wants to go. They were brought over to be docile labourers, but they're anything but. They discover that their contracts aren't delivering what they were promised and that the conditions are so appalling, they're not receiving the pay, and also the overseers are often very cruel to them.
And so many Amoy labourers take action. Some workers take their grievances to the courts, others run away or refuse to work, and some even stage insurrections. We don't have a record of Pu's first experiences in Australia, but like many Amoy, he didn't go back to China after his contract ended.
Once they finish their five-year contracts, those labourers often stayed on and they continued to work in the pastoral industry. And their work was highly regarded.
With no ticket home included in their contracts, we can't be sure Sam Pu wanted to stay in Australia. He may have worked in the pastoral industry after his contract ended, or he might have tried his luck on the goldfields. For Juanita, the revelation that Sam Pu was from Amoy also shed light on the common description of him as a loner.
The Amoy men were used to life in Australia, had found a place for themselves, and then all of a sudden there's this great influx of Chinese from the Pearl River Delta who have a different culture, different language, they don't like each other. So there is conflict.
People from Amoy spoke Hokkien, and people from the Pearl River Delta mainly spoke Cantonese, so they probably couldn't even understand each other.
It's not surprising then, now that we know that he was an Amoy man, that he wasn't getting much support from other Chinese.
By the 1850s and 60s, Amoy men were a minority of a minority, with the number of gold mining migrants far outstripping the numbers of original indentured labourers. But these distinctions between Chinese migrants were often lost on Europeans. In one instance,
there's a fight between the Cantonese and the Amoy who are said to hate each other. But not long after that, then there's an attack by the European diggers against the Chinese. So whereas the Chinese saw a lot of differences, you know, cultural and language differences amongst themselves, Europeans are seeing them all because of the look of them. They're seeing them as all one and the same.
Seeing Chinese migrants as all one and the same could also lead to cases of mistaken identity.
Australians at the time would have seen, you know, a Chinese person. Any of them will do, as long as you get one.
In cases like Sam Pu's, the stakes were high. Murder was a capital offence. The site of the courthouse where Sam Pu was tried is only a short drive from Juanita's house.
I'm going to turn left, and then if you look to your left, then you'll see the courthouse.
I don't know if you
want to
read that at all.
OK, so Juanita and I are standing in front of a sign at McCaddy Park,
and the sign says the first buildings on the site were Bathurst's larger second jail built in 1844 and a modest courthouse built in 1849. So this would have been where Sam Poo actually was kept and where he actually faced the court. Even before his trial for murder, some colonists had already decided Sam Poo was guilty.
The Western Post, Mudgee, February 1865. Sam Poo, the Chinaman recently apprehended on the charge of shooting Senior Constable Ward, was brought into court on Wednesday and was accommodated with a chair. His face bore the marks of the shot, and only one of his eyes was partially open. He is a rather well-built man of about 4 and 20, still maintains almost complete silence. His wounds and injuries are not nearly so dangerous as was first imagined. It is consequently very probable he may live to meet the death he so richly deserves.
Public hangings were held nearby the jail and later more privately within the jail walls. Okay. So, let's go have a look.
Beautiful sculpted paths that kind of zigzag through. Different garden beds raised with flowers. It's an artificial lake with some ducks.
But in 1865, this was the site of death. Sam Poo wasn't just found guilty of Ward's murder. He was executed for it.
Bathurst Free Press, 25th of December, 1865. The convict, Sam Poo, suffered the extreme penalty of the law. The wretched man, who, ever since his apprehension, has been quite weak in intellect, appeared perfectly unconscious of his fate, and until his arms were pinioned by the executioners, stood at the door of his cell, clapping his hands. He was led to the gallows without speaking a word or even lifting up his head. The rope was fixed, the bolt drawn, and the soul was ushered into eternity. Sam Poo struggled convulsively for about a minute, and then all was still.
That's where the hangings would have taken place. They were a spectacle and hundreds of people would assemble to come and watch them. Apparently, the young son of the storekeeper used to look across and be able to see the public hangings from here. Then the people who were executed were then buried. So we might be walking over Sam Poo's body as we go.
Sam Poo's life ended in Bathurst. In central west New South Wales, he lives on as Australia's only Chinese bushranger. But when you think about it, it's actually pretty odd that Poo is known as a bushranger. Sam Poo was never charged with robbery or any other bushranging crime. 1860s talk of a Chinese bushranger in the area is unsubstantiated. Bushranging only really comes up in the court records to explain why Ward stopped his Chinese attacker to begin with. Because Ward thought the man might be a bushranger. I couldn't end my road trip without asking locals what they actually thought about bushrangers. I wasn't anticipating their responses.
You know, here I am, a retired police officer with a mailbox that is Ned Kelly. So I guess, you know, you're glorifying somebody who actually murdered police officers. When I think about it, it probably doesn't sit that well. If you ask about, you know, the police officers that Ned Kelly murdered, nobody would know. They wouldn't know the names.
Do you both see Sam Poo as a bushranger?
It's a bit hard because he's not an Aussie. Most of our bushrangers are Aussie, so it's
Ned Kelly's, the Ben Halls, they were all colonial boys, you know, trying to make good, you know, the haves and the have-nots, while the Chinese, I mean, let's face it, Australia had a white Australian policy for many, many years, and so they were never really regarded as Australians, even though they lived here and did so much for our country.
If you put a picture of him up and showed anyone and said, pick out the bushranger, I'm sure that they wouldn't pick him, no.
there are some signs of change. Michael Burke's artwork of Sam Poo has made it onto a revered Aussie icon, a beer can.
Being on a beer can's exciting. But I was more excited for Sam Poo. I thought he was finally receiving the recognition that he deserved. You know, it's such an Anglo space, a beer can, and a Chinese bushranger who'd been neglected all these years that he was there. I just felt it was about time.
As I head back to Sydney and leave the Central West behind, I drive by signs and sites that keep this 160-year-old story alive. I pass the commemorative plaque to John Ward that Mal Unicum put up in Coonabarabran Police Station, a street named to honour Ward's sacrifice, and a memorial garden on the site of Ward's rediscovered grave. I also head past that large brown road sign, the sign that labelled Sam Poo a Chinese bushranger and Ward's murderer.
History is written by the winners and by the people who survive, and generally it's not by the poor people, it's by the elites, which gives not a true reflection of how things actually were.
But how good would it be if we could just all go back with our little drone, fly over the scene and get the true story? So we'll never know the true story, but the fact that it happened in this area, we at least know that, you know, and it is a story to be told.
Do you think it matters? Because even if my story's right, Ward was still killed in the line of action. There was a Chinese man of some description who did kill him in the line of his duty. How much do you think it matters whether that person was Sam Poo?
It matters a fair bit, but the important thing is to remember Ward.
As I take one last look around Bathurst, I'm struck by what this place meant for Sam Poo.
Okay, we're here. I'm walking through two sandstone gates. There's a huge, beautiful park. There are daffodils and jonquils.
And yet, as I look to my feet, I can't help but hear Juanita's words that I could be treading on Sam Poo. It's creepy and it's weird, and it is also sad.
The official story is that this is the site of a state-sanctioned execution. But if Sam Poo was innocent, then this is the site of a murder. The story of Sam Poo was written and narrated by me, Meg Foster. The producer was Roz Blewett, and the sound engineer was John Jacobs. Many thanks to everyone I interviewed in Central West New South Wales. For more details, please head to our webpage.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.